WMFO Medford 91.5. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. That's our new telephone number. Write these digits down, won't you please? 855-915-9636. Call in, be a part of the show. We would love to hear from you. Coming up later tonight, why the Olympics sucks. Because it does. What? Say something into that. Yeah, you should be, because it's up on the board. Yeah. Try that again. Nope. Hello, Lisa Nichols. Lisa Nichols. Ooh, no, you're not. Check the connection on the back of that microphone and see if that is in tightly, because that may be the problem. All right. Try talking into that again. Wow. That's really poor. Swing over microphone number 4. We will switch you up over here. It is another, you know, I walk in and this is the first time in weeks that everything is actually going the way that it should. And I got everything open and I'm all set up and the board's set up the right way. And what do you know? Mic 3 is simply not functional. So, Lisa Nichols?
Am I here now?
You're barely here now.
Oh, so weird.
All right. So this is when we press this button and reset the entire board. Because this is not working for anybody here. All right, so that should put us back on.
I think you're just trying to kick me under the show.
No, not at all. This is very bizarre. We haven't had this problem with the board before. Go back over to, no, wait, because that's now set for that. Folks, we're going to be with you in just a moment here on The Big Picture. As soon as we can figure out how to get any of this equipment to work. We usually don't have these problems with the microphones. Everything else in here, yes, but the microphones are usually pretty well behaved. Let's see.
Am I going to have to sit on your lap today?
You know, you're more than welcome to do that, always. Okay, let's...
Harriet, no.
No, hello? Go over to the other one.
I'm back over. Oh my, it's
good.
Working.
There we go. There we go.
I really thought that I was going to have to sit on your lap the entire show.
No.
And we were going to have to speak into the same microphone.
That was some hardcore
board
triage.
Yeah, you know what, though? I should have known coming into the studio because one of our microphones was where this one is supposed to be. So maybe something was all jacked up on the last show.
Yeah.
For this one.
So. I don't know, but we got it back. It's
so you're
working.
Not trying to kick me off the show.
No, no. You're
fantastic news.
You're my favorite part of the show.
I'm still here.
You're my favorite part of the show. I should have told you the microphone was broken so that you could sit on my lap. And then you'd really be my favorite part of the show.
It's Derek, it's way too hot for that today.
Is that? You're the one that's supposed to like this.
I told you. I don't like the humidity. Nothing good, especially women listening. You understand. Humidity and our hair don't go together.
It is pretty much a sauna out there.
Oh, absolutely. Didn't you just tell me you were going to start wearing a towel?
I'm going to start walking around in a towel. And people better hope I don't make any sudden movements.
You know, I really don't want to frighten the you know, nice people of Medford in this area.
If that towel falls off, nobody wants to see that.
No.
Okay, now that everything is working, including our phone lines, I promise you.
Welcome to our show.
I promise you they work. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. You can also find us on the internet. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Enough screwing around. Let's get to the news.
Still loving that you don't have the Pokemon song on. It's Olympic season.
Yeah, so
we're very patriotic in here.
We've got the Olympic music to go with the news, because I guess that is the news. But what is actually the news, Lisa Nichols?
Well, today in local news, we learned there still be a way for you to save money on big purchases here in Massachusetts. Furniture stores, rug purveyors, lighting shops, and other retailers around Massachusetts are pushing for big promotion for the sales tax holiday. The only problem is there isn't a sales tax holiday this year. Lawmakers at the last minute decided to eliminate the August ritual amid slower than expected state revenue growth. But retailers who have advertised for even some weeks have foregone and gone ahead on their own, offering discounts equivalent to double and triple the state's 6.25% sales tax. Consumers can still save the money, however, will come out of the pockets of businesses, not stave coffers. The sales tax holiday was a late summer tradition nearly every year since 2004 when former Governor Mitt Romney said he was, quote, sending taxes on a little summer vacation. It was skipped once in 2009 amid recession rockiness. Quote, the customer is used to having this. Some have been planning a purchase for a long time. We thought, let's just keep business moving and not disrupt anything, said Lindsay Cathers, marketing manager for Michigan-based Lazy Boy. So apparently with state tax collections, you know, coming up short this year, that's all we've been hearing about in Massachusetts. Massachusetts doesn't have any monies. All the tax, we're looking at like $600,000 is missing.
Yes.
Upwards of $600 million. $600,000,
we wouldn't care. $600 million is a big number.
$600 million. Yeah, you know, a lot of people concerned on Beacon Hill about, and they just want this event completely gone.
I am so sick and tired of these sales tax holiday promotions from the furniture companies. Mm-hmm. Can you please get a new shtick?
It was funny because I believe
give people 15% off. Get a new shtick. Call it your late summer sale. Stop. I'm sick of hearing it. I've been sick of hearing it for 5 freaking years now. It is a crappy discount. You're getting 12% off. That is a crappy discount. Just go to New Hampshire if you don't want to pay sales tax.
Exactly.
Connecticut, meanwhile, is giving people an entire week with no sales tax.
No, and I mean, some companies are doing that. They're not doing just 1 or 2 days over the weekend. They are extending it for an entire week. But exactly like you just said, if we're talking about double the discount or even triple the discount.
12%? Wow! I'm saving money! Come on.
But also what you have to understand is retailers are also keeping their prices at what it is without a normal discount.
I mean,
for the most part, you can go into Target or Walmart, and if you want like a big screen TV, there is going to be some sort of discount that you're going to get off of it.
12%,
Lisa.
Same thing
with furniture stores.
Rush out now in a buying frenzy. 12% off.
You know, I understand where these smaller companies are coming from, these brick and mortar stores, but that's why we have these local events. If you look at anything in Medford or Somerville, where they have these Saturday events and people go out to these specific stores, which are becoming non-existent because of, you know, your local hardware store, which is almost extinct when people are going to Lowe's or any other big store.
It's because the hipsters are turning them all into like organic vegan cafes, and we don't need any more of that.
That's true.
Please support your local business so that there's no room for the hipsters to move in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a crappy discount. If you want to have a sale, just have a sale. You don't need a reason to do it. The real benefit of the sales tax holiday was for people of limited means, people who were struggling to get by, who could go out and get everything the kids needed for school and not have to pay sales tax on it.
And it was timely. It fell a couple weeks before kids were going back to school, so it made sense.
That was what worked about it. It was never meant to be furniture discount week in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tremendous amount of sympathy for furniture retailers. I like furniture retailers. I don't have anything against you as a group of people. You're very nice. I've met Barry. Great guy. Surprisingly ripped. Or is it Barry or Elliot? Whichever one. It's Elliot.
Elliot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whichever one is still in the business. I met Elliot. Elliot's a great guy. They run a tight ship over there. I love them. But stop with the sales tax holiday. Go find a new gimmick, please. I'm begging you.
Yeah, but this is the rhetoric that we're getting from especially the furniture stores, where they come out and say, you know, because of the tax holiday, we can't have this big sale. Really, all they're concerned about is for the past month, they've been spending money on advertising dollars in every way possible, whether it be online or on air, and they just want to get their money's worth. So they want to still have people thinking that they care about the customers coming out. No, they just want to make up for all the advertising dollars that they just spent.
Well, you shouldn't
That's
have
spent, what it comes down to.
You shouldn't have spent those advertising dollars in the first place. But it doesn't alter the fact that you are promoting a crappy sale. 12% off is a crappy sale.
Mm-hmm.
20% off is a good sale. 30% off is a great sale. 50% off is a sale that you go to.
And again, you can do this every day in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's only a half an hour drive, and you get this deal every day.
Enough with the sales tax holiday. I can't take it anymore. In national news, for the third straight day, Delta Airlines was forced to cancel flights as it struggled to recover from a power outage that took out both its reservation system and backups on Monday. Around 150 flights were canceled on Wednesday, down from 250 on Tuesday. Delta blamed today's cancellations on flight crews who were in the wrong place or who had exceeded their allowable working hours due to the problems on Monday. Around 2,000 Delta flights have been canceled in total, including 1,000 canceled on Monday when the computer failure made it impossible for Delta employees to check in passengers. Delta is waiving change fees for affected passengers and offering a $200 travel voucher for anyone whose flight was delayed by more than 3 hours. For whatever good that is going to do you.
But my question is, how does this even happen? You would think one of the largest travel carriers...
We're the world's second largest airline. That's the computer that runs everything.
Would have some sort
we're
of backup.
Delta.
But really?
This is why they're Delta and not Alpha. Alpha Airlines, they got all the backups.
You know, as a consumer... We should be asking that question. How do you not have a backup for this system? How do you not have, I mean, the computer systems and their electrical power sources should have some sort of foolproof backup.
Apparently.
Is that too much to ask?
Because they're swearing up and down that they have backups. So apparently, their backups...
What did they put together with scotch tape and Elmer's glue?
No, I'm guessing that the backups were running off the same power source as the main system. Mm-hmm. So when the power went out... Everything's gone. Mm-hmm. This is why you put your backups in a different location. And if you want to be really smart about it, you put in a renewable energy power system on top of that so that if the lights go out in the daytime, the sun can still give you power or the wind can still give you power. Or you got some General Electric Gen Barker diesel generators sitting around and you can use those to generate power.
No, it's interesting because we live in a day and age right now where, for the most part, not many people have consumer loyalty to a specific airline. Pretty much, if you're going on a flight, you're going on some sort of site that is going to give you the lowest flight.
What's cheap on Travelocity? That's
of course.
That's
so
what we look for in an airline
Delta,
now.
Delta, Southwest, American, I'm going to choose that one. We now are in a time where you need to bring back people.
Yeah.
What do we see happen when airlines start continually failing? They either get bought out by somebody or completely shut down. If Delta wants to be in a position that it's going to maintain being the second largest airline carrier of consumers here, especially in the United States, they need to step up their game and create some sort of system. Because we've seen this before. And it happened, before Monday... I think it was a couple months ago when Southwest had that system failure, and apparently they had been running on the same system as when they acquired AirTran. And they said, oops, you know, we took over AirTran's system, and now it's outdated, so we're going to spend a couple $1 million to fix it. Same thing before that. We saw it with United. And they also had a faulty system. This is a good investment to have a backup.
But the thing about it is, this isn't an airline industry problem. This is a problem all across the country. This is a problem with banks. This is a problem, although it's a little bit better with banks because of the sort of distributed geographic nature of the banking system. This is a problem with retail. All of these companies are consolidating all of their computer operations into one data center.
Mm-hmm.
None of them can function if anything happens to that data center.
No, but there's a big difference, though, when a retailer goes down compared to an airline's. Oh,
yeah, there is. People can't buy anything. You can't get any food. Imagine the Walmart goes down. People are going to starve because in some communities in this country, Walmart is the only place where you can buy anything. So imagine that this Delta thing happens the Wednesday or the Tuesday before Thanksgiving and what that would be like. Imagine that Walmart's system goes down on Black Friday. These companies need to learn from companies like Amazon and like Google that have their main system, and then they have a fully functional backup system, and then they have a fully functional backup to the backup system. And they're in three different places with three different power supplies. Mm-hmm. And they're all designed with redundancy to be self-sufficient in the event of a power outage.
But if you're talking about the difference between a retailer, if Walmart goes down, for the most part, it's probably going to come up back up in a couple hours. We're talking about an airline.
Not necessarily.
Where the reverberations after that happen. So now we're talking about canceled flights and then having to rebook and what continues on after that. So for Delta to fully come back after what happened on Monday, it's going to take a few weeks.
The airline industry has some unique problems in that regard because...
And it's also the money that you're spending for this happening.
The way that it works is planes need to be in certain places just to load passengers. Mm-hmm. And everything's built around, this plane is going to go to these three cities today. So if it only goes to two of them, day three, you're waiting for that plane to take off and the plane isn't there. So that's a problem. The other issue that you run into, as Delta pointed out, is there are federal maximums for the amount of time that pilots can work before they have to get a day off. So everybody got into the sky late on Monday. Everybody had to come in and work overtime on Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday. We can't get pilots. This will sort itself out at the end of the week. It doesn't alter the central fundamental technical problem here, which is you have everything dependent on a computer system. If I was a hacker and I wanted to bring the United States to its knees, I would launch a coordinated attack on Walmart, Target, and a couple of big supermarket chains. And you would basically, in a matter of hours, make it impossible for the majority of Americans to buy food. Because everybody is now going to go to 7-Eleven and the convenience stores, mm-hmm. which haven't been hacked. They're going to be overwhelmed. They're going to sell out of everything in 2 minutes. And now you get a lot of hungry people walking around.
God forbid, though, people actually use cash go into
these
stores.
I'm talking about taking down the point of sale system. If that point of sale system goes down at Walmart, Walmart's shut down. If it goes down at Target, Target's shut down. It's not like the old days where you get a manager who can come in and say, we'll take cash.
Yeah, but it's going to be...
They can't do that
but
anymore.
It will be brought back up in 24 hours, I'm sure.
Don't count on that.
But even if we said... All of that happened. You did have a hacker to get in maybe even 3 days. That's normal. That's what happens during hurricane season when people buy out everything in Walmart down in the south. Like, that's normal. People can live like that. People have food at their home.
But with hurricane season, you have advance warning. People know the hurricane is coming, so they go out and stock up ahead of time. I'm talking about something that hits you out of the middle of nowhere on a Tuesday. Suddenly, you can't buy food in America anymore. Why?
Well, because you think people honestly don't have enough food in their house. You can travel. That's very, very different
It's still going to freak everybody out. And that's what the terrorists want. This is a national security issue. And this is a national security issue that... America's large corporations do not take seriously because they still wander around in a world, apart from their IT guys who are howling in the wilderness to get someone to pay attention. The people running these companies walk around thinking the computers are magic and they're just going to be there all the time.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I can understand the hardships of having a computer system going down. I work in a restaurant. The minute the computers go down, we are now talking about you cannot ring anything to the kitchen. You cannot ring up anything on the bar. You cannot run a credit card. It is very, very rare that I have somebody paying cash, whether it's on the bar or at a table. People freak out.
Yeah.
And when you have to bring out the archaic system of a crash kit, which consists of one of those old school, which, you know, some millennials listening might not even know what that is, and you have to manually swipe a card, people are so incredibly frightened and freaked out by that that you have to, like, write down their number. It was funny, a few weeks ago I was in
the old carbon machine. I remember those.
She has recently opened up a new restaurant in her... So entire system went down for maybe 20 minutes or so. Did not have a crash kit. And I said, just break out, you know, white paper, write everybody's name down. She's like, I can't do that. Like, that's really your only option.
Yeah.
So you have to go old school. But I understand how difficult it is to run something so basic as, you know, a restaurant without a system because everything's connected. We're not talking about we have a separate KMS system for the kitchen. Everything is all wired together.
Do you think a single Walmart in this country has an old carbon reader?
Mm-hmm.
Has an old carbon credit card swiper? No. Do you think a single Target in this country has that? They don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put one in front of the employees, they would just stare at you dumbfounded and ask you what life was like in the 18th century.
I hate that, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, yes, smart businesses do that because mm-hmm. they know, yeah, if these machines go down, we still...
You have to have some sort of backup system.
But the big corporations, because there is too much consolidation, because too much of our economy runs through too few places, are a huge point of vulnerability. And someone in the federal government... Because I'm not trying to give our enemies ideas about how to create chaos in the United States. Somebody in the federal government needs to lean on these corporations and say, listen, you guys are going to be stress tested like the banks are. We want to see what happens when hackers get into your system and shut down your point of sale. And they're all going to throw their hands up and be like, oh, we don't know what happened. We'd close. Yeah, well, you can't close Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You can't close Walmart and Target and expect this country to function.
No, I understand. If we're talking about, you know, rural Texas, when Walmart is pretty much the only source of everything you need, whether it be toilet paper, milk, or bread.
And by the way...
Or, you know, a two-hour ride, then...
By the way, for all the talk we hear about, they're going to go after our nuclear plants and our hydroelectric dams and all the rest of that stuff, Target and Walmart are way easier to hack. And the hackers know it. Because
how many times have we covered a Target hack on
the
show?
They get in there all the time and get people's credit card information. Mm-hmm. So this Delta thing is another giant wake-up call. And another giant wake-up call that I predict will be thoroughly ignored until something serious happens. Until the hackers get in and shut down Walmart and shut down Target and shut down the supermarkets, we're going to keep seeing this. Because nobody takes it seriously. In world news, Vietnam has begun arming its islands in the South China Sea, according to an exclusive report from Reuters. Five bases in the disputed Spratly Islands have been equipped with extra mobile artillery launchers capable of hitting targets 93 miles away. The deployment puts Chinese airstrips on Subi, Fiery Cross, and Mischief Islands within range. While the launchers are not currently believed to be armed, military experts say they could be ready to fire in as little as 2 days. China captured some of the Spratly Islands in a sea battle with Vietnam in 1988, a conflict that included the massacre of 64 Vietnamese soldiers on South Johnson Reef. Vietnam not too happy about China's adventures in the South China Sea.
Well, I mean, this whole area has been incredibly volatile. We recently had the court ruling saying that China was not the almighty of the South China Sea and they couldn't do whatever they wanted.
China's response to that court ruling, by the way, was we do not recognize your court.
Sorry.
You go away. We're China. Okay, yeah. Come on. Bring it.
It's a really
bring it.
Interesting region to look at, and there are many claims on different areas of it, whether we're talking about Vietnam, Malaysia.
Yeah.
What are the other countries that are involved?
Singapore would like to, but they can't. The Philippines are involved in this. Thailand is involved in this.
There's a few more.
Japan and China are arguing about a different set of islands.
Mm-hmm. And as we've been seeing over the past couple of years, China has been building these, whether it be hangars, unknown buildings on these reefs and these islands, yeah, not understanding what they're meant for. I'm sure they're not. They're up to no good over there.
We know now because the reports came out last week that China now has airstrips on these. What China's been doing is they've been dredging the ocean floor to turn reefs into artificial islands.
Mm-hmm. They're making man-made islands.
And they've now put airstrips on them that can accommodate any plane in China's military arsenal. So China has projected its power deep into what are traditionally considered international waters and onto several islands that China does not really own. China does whatever China wants to do because they're China. They're big. Everybody is afraid of them. And everyone else can go through the courts and do whatever they want to do. And China
and
just says,
still not going to listen.
Yeah, we're China. All right. You want it? Come take it. And we'll show you what we're made out of. The situation with Vietnam is not good. First of all, you do not want sovereign nations pointing guns at each other. That is always a bad situation.
Not good.
You particularly don't want these two sovereign nations pointing guns at each other because they've been involved in an ongoing dispute.
Mm-hmm. And it first started, what was that, 1979?
Yeah.
When they declared war against each other?
Over the waterways and over the islands. Mm-hmm. This has been a shooting war. And Vietnam feels that China's actions are hostile and aggressive. China is likely to see Vietnam's deployment of these missile launchers or these missile launchers as a provocative measure.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next question is, who shoots first? That's where this goes.
Well, it almost seems like Vietnam is really taking the first step up. And we were saying so many times on this show, what line does China need to cross for something to happen? And they've made all these claims on the area in the China Sea, but nobody's actually done anything. Now we have Vietnam actually getting artillery to do something against them. Could we see some sort of war? Also, the big question is, does it even matter here to the United States? And it does, because really, United States has a major stake in trade. And we know that trade that goes through that region. It really doesn't want China to call the shots. I mean, nobody wants
that.
Well,
it's not just us. It's everybody. Busiest trade routes in the world.
But especially for us and what it means economically to us. We're a huge player in that. China's a huge player in that. But really, also, we don't want them starting any problems with any of our allies. Because, again, we need to back up people. If you start shooting against Vietnam, we might have to step in.
Nobody's going to step in. But again,
I raise that question to you. What does China need to do for us to actually have some sort of military...
There is nothing China can do that would bring down a military response from any other country on Earth short of firing a nuclear weapon at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one and only thing that they could do. China could go invade Canada tomorrow, and nobody's going to stand up to them.
But we've been also monitoring, you know, for months what's going on and what they're building on these man-made islands.
And every year that goes by, the Pentagon sits there and craps their pants a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, the reports come out every spring.
Kerry goes out once in a while.
Yeah.
Looks from afar and, you know, says, pump the brakes.
Yeah. China
don't do anything.
China can do whatever the heck they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they simply ignore the laws and the rules in the rest of the world because they're basically standing there saying, we're the big dog. Who's going to come poke us with a stick?
Do you even think, though, that Vietnam could stand up to China?
No. Well,
it's not. I mean,
do I think they would try? Possibly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you've read what some of the gun or artillery they've been bringing in.
Yeah.
They've been buying it from Israel, I heard.
Yeah, they've been buying the extra system that they've got comes from Israel, and it's actually a very sophisticated drone targeted artillery system.
And that's what they have stationed.
Yeah, that's what they've got out on their Spratly Islands.
Mm-hmm.
They've also got 5 nuclear submarines that they bought from Russia. They've been buying military hardware all over the world trying to build up their navy. And they've built it up to a point where now, maybe they want to go pick a fight with China.
All right, now that's interesting. You brought up Russia. Do you think because of Vietnam getting involved, Russia's now going to support? Because I believe that Russia absolutely is going to come forward before the United States.
Russia's not going to go anywhere near this either because China's on their border. And the last thing they want to do is get into it with China.
Mm-hmm.
They got enough problems trying to play nice with Europe right now without having China sending troops or firing weapons over the border. That's a war that nobody wants to see. So if China wants to get into it with Vietnam, Vietnam is going to find themselves alone very quickly. And China will blow up some of their stuff. And maybe Vietnam will blow up some of China's stuff, and that'll be the end of it. But it will be an armed conflict between these two nations. Everyone will freak out, and there will be mass hysteria on the internet with everybody saying, oh my God, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen is China is going to swat Vietnam like a fly, and life will go on.
Well, today in sports, we learned Fenway Faithful.
WMFO Medford.
Fenway Faithful will get a last chance to boo A-Rod Thursday night in Boston. Alex Rodriguez's 22-year baseball career will come to an end on Friday as he plays his final game for the New York Yankees and assumes a special advisor role with the club, the Yankees announced on Sunday. The Yankees and Rodriguez held a news conference on Sunday to signal the end of a complex and undeniably dominant career. Rodriguez is still owed $21 million in 2017 and about $7 million for the remainder of the year. The Yankees will release him following Friday's game and will continue as a role of advisor through 2017. General Manager Brian Cashman confirmed that Rodriguez will receive his full salary, though through the expiration of his 10-year, $275 million contract. Rodriguez's final game will come Friday night at Yankee Stadium against Tampa Bay Rays, and the final chance to add on to his resume that includes 696 home runs, fourth in baseball history. Quote, "This is a tough day. I love this game and I love this team. And today I'm saying goodbye to both." Do you happen to check out that news conference that took place on Sunday with a tearful
Is that
Alex
the one where he cried?
Like a big baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the biggest question I think that happens now is, does his legacy of a baseball player and all that he's accomplished, you know, what? He's had over 3,000 hits. I think it's 3,114 hits, 0.93 on-base slugging percentage. It's completely tarnished by what happened in the Biogenesis drug. What was that, 2 years ago?
I don't think that's the biggest question at all. I think the biggest question is,
is he actually going to retire and sign with somebody else?
Why aren't the New York Yankees letting him stay in the lineup long enough to get the 700th home run? How much do they hate this guy that they want him as far away from the baseball team as, because they're basically,
it shows you how much they hate him. They hardly played him this season.
They're paying him
so
$27 million dollars to go home.
Yeah.
$27 million. Go back to Florida. Mm-hmm. We'll give you the money. Just go now. Don't go play for anybody else. Just go now. And it's like, what? If you're Alex Rodriguez, like, why are you even taking this? Why are you? And I get it. He's trying to play nice. He's trying to atone for the mistakes that he made. But dude's four home runs away from 700.
Mm-hmm.
Four.
No, absolutely.
You don't give up at 696.
When this all went down, when he actually came out and admitted to it, because, I mean, we first saw, what was that, back in, you know, 2013, when, or 2007, when he said he didn't do it. Then a couple years ago, 2013, he said, yeah, I actually took them, but I took them in 2001, 2, and 3, when none of these drugs were banned. How convenient.
Yeah.
And woe is me. I needed to be this rookie coming into a, you know, $300+ million contract with Texas Rangers. So that gave me the okay to do all these drugs.
No, it didn't. That's not how it works.
That's how he made it seem.
Yeah.
But when this all came out in the Biogenesis out of Miami, and Sports Illustrated was the first one to break this, because all of the testing was not supposed to be known to anybody. It was, all this testing was done secretly, confidentially, and came out.
Yeah, and then it was leaked to the media, as these things are. This is why, as I like to say, you don't want the government making lists. It's never good when the government makes lists.
Exactly. But, you know, I had said, if the Yankees were smart, completely cut your ties, cut your losses of all the money, pack up his stuff, put it in a box, and put it right outside of Yankee Stadium. But no, they kept him on for another year. They thought that it was going to bring back, you know, this fan faith in the player. And it didn't. What, for the first maybe 20 games, he was booed. And then he started hitting a couple home runs. People were happy. But look at what he's done this entire season. Yeah, there's a few good hits here and there.
Well,
but people don't care about him. He's a joke.
He's older now. He's in the twilight of his career anyway, with or without the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Four home runs away. Just let the guy DH for the rest of the season. Let the guy DH until he gets those four home runs and then kick him out.
He's hated that much that they just want him gone.
Four home runs.
That this special advisor role, he's probably just going to be sweeping and doing laundry for them.
No, they're gonna have him sit in front of a computer looking at numbers and tape, probably. Yeah. It's like, yeah, stay home and just send us some reports on what you see, Alex. We don't actually want you in the facility. But
I almost feel like to a majority of people in New York, he's not having that tag of MVP.
Look,
that he does. He's a philanderer. He's a liar. He's a cheater.
He is all of those things. He is also one of the greatest baseball players of his era. You can't, drugs or no drugs, he's one of the best baseball players of his
era.
On
drugs.
Even,
but look at all the people ahead of him in
with
so
or without
many things.
Them.
Without Barry Bonds on that list, I think there's only maybe 14 players. All of them are in Cooperstown,
yeah,
in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds is not. Alex Rodriguez's career is so tarnished.
He's not getting Hall of Fame.
Of course he's not.
He's not getting Hall of Fame.
Of course he is
which
not.
Which is all the
all
more
of these
reason.
Writers who vote for Cooperstown, yeah, in the Hall of Fame will not give it to him.
Which is all the more reason why you should have let him get those last four home runs.
But what's the point?
The point is acknowledging somebody who, for better or worse, mostly for better, made significant contributions to a baseball team that won multiple world championships, multiple World Series, while he was on the roster.
But it also doesn't matter. If we're talking about four more home runs, it doesn't mean anything. Because to so many people, it's fake. It's a lie. It's cheap.
It means something in the grand legacy of the history of sports. Maybe
no, it's the same
maybe
thing
today,
with Tom Brady.
Maybe
to some
today,
people that are fans of football, no matter what Tom Brady does at this point, he is going to be a cheater. He is going to be known with ties to Spygate, to Deflategate. It doesn't matter. So if you said, please let Tom Brady play in one more championship football game, don't have, you know, the backup quarterback do it if he's sort of hurt, let him just get one more ring, people won't matter because they're gonna think he's a fake.
That's
a fraud.
That's a different situation because in football, every game matters. The Yankees are not in contention, aren't anywhere near contention.
But I'm talking about the legacy of a player, regardless of what the team is.
You're thinking about it in terms of today. And it's not about today. It's about 50 years from now. When people who have no idea who any of these guys are go back and look at the record books and they're like, Alex Rodriguez, four home runs short of 700, left in the middle of the season. Why did that happen? How much do you hate the guy that is going to be his lasting legacy in the record books? That tells you volumes about how much the New York Yankees hate Alex Rodriguez right now, which may be even more than Red Sox fans hate Alex Rodriguez.
But anybody that's a fan of baseball will know what he was known for. And what he was known for was doing drugs. It's the same thing about Barry Bonds. I can spit off stats for you about any of the players if we're going back to 1920s, 1930s, 1940s. I know things about their statistics, not drugs, because they didn't take them. If we're looking now 50 years, so from where I am, looking into the past, I know about players. Going back 50 years, you're going to know that about Alex Rodriguez. You're going to know that,
right,
about Barry Bonds. You're going to know that about so many other players that did do drugs.
But what those guys are really known for is getting caught. That's what they're known for, because they by no means were the only ones using drugs.
Oh, and I'm not saying that. Absolutely not.
Everybody was using drugs. Everybody is still using drugs. Doping, doping, doping. It's the only thing that we hear about.
How many times on the show have you said, let's just let everybody do drugs?
Let everyone dope.
You want a more exciting game?
Yeah.
People are concerned with the length of the game and they keep changing the rules. Well, no, people won't care how long it is if you just have, you know, everybody slugging home runs every 5 seconds.
I want people with roid rage just ripping their own arms off,
biting
and
bats,
beating their,
yeah,
opponents with a bloody stump.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's what I want to see happen. I want dongs all night long. I want 75 to 90 point football games. I want NHL games with double-digit scores on both sides every single night. I want basketball games where the score is 175 to 160. Let them dope. They're going to dope anyway. Let them dope. If these people are that careless about their futures, if they're that focused on being the best and making millions of dollars when they're in their 20s and dying in their 40s, who am I to stop them? Who are any of us to stop them? Other than crusaders against in a battle that we're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Let them dope.
There's always going to be a new drug. There's going to be a new way to get around testing.
And somebody ought to pick up Rodriguez and let him get those four home runs. As much as I don't like what he stands for, as much as I don't like what he did to the game of baseball, it kind of breaks my heart to see the guy not get 700. Because for all of that, for everything that he's put himself through, he should have at least got that.
Well, today in food news, we learned that queasiness in your stomach is not only from the Whopper you ate, but also the election. People don't want cheeseburgers because of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, at least according to Wendy's CEO, Todd Penninger. In a quarterly earnings column Wednesday, Penninger said that the presidential election is weighing on consumer sentiment, and in turn, people are spending less at restaurants like Wendy's. Penninger noted there is a large difference between the cost of food at home and food away from home, and when you combine it with the economic uncertainty, people are less likely to eat out. Quote, and when a consumer is a little uncertain about their future and really trying to figure out what this election cycle really means to them, they're not apt to spend money freely as they might even if it was just a couple quarters ago, Penninger said. Despite Wendy's beat on analysts' estimates for earnings, sales were down from a year ago. In explaining the decline, management repeatedly expressed concern for the industry as a whole. According to Penninger, they said it was more important for Wendy's to differentiate itself to provide customers a reason to go to its restaurants. I think this is just a cop-out from fast food and blaming the election because it's in the news cycle constantly, 24 hours. So it is a way for Wendy's to get its name out there and blame Donald Trump and blame Hillary Clinton.
This is one of the larger horse shirt arguments that I've heard in a while. Yeah. We're not talking about fine dining here, sir. We're talking about Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what the problem is at Wendy's,
it's your food.
Maybe you should stop putting ghost peppers on your French fries and get back to making some half-decent burgers.
But that's what you're seeing. And we've talked about it many times before, especially with McDonald's, who actually McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts have seen an increase in their sales.
Yep.
Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell are down of the past quarter.
But you know how McDonald's has done it. McDonald's has done it by refocusing their menu on fresher food and a smaller menu of better options.
Just because you roll out every couple weeks this new sticky kind of thing, exactly like you just said, the ghost pepper fries or, you know, hotter than hell hamburger that has, you know, two chicken sandwiches as the bun. It doesn't work and people understand that. The one good point that he does make is talking about how food now is becoming more affordable to have it at home. So we're seeing prices kind of stagnant in the grocery stores where we're seeing them more expensive. But what he fails to talk about is that because food is cheaper to buy in the grocery store, that means ingredients are going to be cheaper for the restaurants.
Right.
So you can't use that as an excuse.
But that also doesn't mean that people have any more time to cook than they did a year ago.
Exactly.
And the reality is they don't.
I can absolutely tell you that
the
restaurant industry is flourishing.
Yeah.
As I know every night when I'm crying because we are so busy.
If Wendy's is struggling, it's because people aren't going to Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
Not because there's cheap food in the super. I mean, I used to be in this business, okay? I know all the spin tactics. I know all the ways that you look at the numbers, you say, oh no, this is because of this, and this is because of that. And 99% of the time, that's a made-up number, by the way, the reason given is a horse shirt. That's what it is, horse shirt. And you should just take that for what it is. If possible, throw it back at the person who gave it to you, because nobody wants a horse shirt.
No.
And, you know, oh, we're blaming the election, we're blaming this, we're blaming that. Come on, stop. stop putting ghost peppers and chili on everything. Okay?
It's been a, you know, constant conversation, though, in the business.
And put out some poutine. Get the Canadians to come into your restaurant. There's a thought. Burger King. Let's talk about...
Yeah, you had to say poutine.
What do they got over there? They got chicken fries now. I don't know what that is. Mm-mm. I'm not eating that. They got hot dogs now.
Yeah.
They brought back their ham sandwich for a while. I don't know what business Burger King is in anymore.
But this is what we've been seeing, and, you know, these numbers that are, despite the Chipotle problems, but Chipotle, Qdoba, Panera, this is why you are seeing all their numbers increasing, because this is what consumers want. Consumers want to be able to see their food, see what they're eating.
Yes.
And also, knowing that the food is coming out without GMOs and all of the other things that they promote.
This is the point that I've been bringing up over and over again. Exactly as you say, when we have this discussion, consumers want their food assembled in front of them. Mm-hmm. They want to see the ingredients. They want to see the process. They want to trust every part of it. And throwing ghost peppers on your French fries doesn't do anything for that. All it does is get the spice sadists and the stunt food eaters to come in. And they're only going to come in once and have this thing and then leave.
And understand that it's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at Wendy's, you can't rely your business on the stoners that have the Frosties and French fries.
Yeah, the stoners are at IHOP. The stoners have always been at IHOP. That's why McDonald's breakfast all day works.
Oh, my day it was Wendy's.
Because you can't really. Yeah. It was always IHOP around here. Mm-hmm. 2 a.m, IHOP, oh boy. In technology news, the latest Pokemon Go furor has overtones of alleged racism. A crowdsourced study from environmental blog Grist and the Urban Institute found that Pokestops, where players can get free Pokemon supplies, are more common in white neighborhoods than in minority neighborhoods. Urban Institute found an average of 19 Pokestops in black neighborhoods compared with 55 in white neighborhoods. While some online have been quick to cry racism, the game's developer, Niantic Laboratories, pointed out that the Pokestops were placed based on maps from their previous game, Ingress, which had a strong appeal among young white male players. Niantic does plan to add more Pokestops in the future, which should balance the experience in different neighborhoods.
Oh boy.
I bring this one up because
Pokemon's racist.
This is another example of the ongoing ill-informed stupidity that masquerades as social justice mm-hmm. or enlightenment on the internet.
But that's the problem. The internet. And it's the screaming little children
yes.
that take to the keyboard. And it, especially when it is reported by media, it makes it seem like millions of people are talking about it when it's only a few people that are angry and putting out their feelings.
Well, it's angry people who don't know what they're talking about.
Of course.
Because their allegation is, well, look, Niantic put out this game and they're discriminating against the black people. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're putting out a game based on data that they collected over 2 years from people playing a totally different game. So they had this game, Ingress, same basic mechanics as Pokemon Go, where you're fighting and defending landmarks. So you've got works of art, museums, post offices, churches. There was a whole range of places that you could submit. And because the people who were playing it were techies, also known as bros with smartphones in their 20s, for the most part, the locations wound up in either urban areas or white suburban areas.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're going to find more near Harvard Square rather than Roslindale.
Exactly. Now, if you're in Roslindale, you can go to Harvard Square. You can go to Boston Common. It's there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you're in an urban area where you actually have the ability to get on public transportation and go downtown and play, you're doing way better than the poor schmucks out in Kansas and Indiana who can't find a Pokestop for 10 miles.
So we're lucky here in Boston.
Yeah, you are, actually. But this is, again, horse shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again,
this is another,
so every time
this
I
is another horse shirt story that we have to talk about, because these people don't know what they're talking about. They're ill informed and they're screaming and yelling about racism that doesn't even exist.
But they're crusaders against racism. So they need to take to the internet and talk about how racist these games are,
because
everything's racist.
You know what your message needs to be? is to go to Niantic and say, look, how did this happen? And then when Niantic says, well, it's based on the old game, then you go back to Niantic and you say, how can you fix this? Mm-hmm. Because it's unfair right now. I don't think anybody over at Niantic is sitting around saying, ha ha ha, we screwed the black man again. One for us. Let's go to the country club and get on our dancing horses. That's not what's happening here. That is not what's happening here.
That's a great reaction.
I lose my mind. I really do. My ability to live in this world, Lisa, is diminishing by the day.
Living under that rock seems better and better.
The preppers have a point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty.
Back of your neck getting very dirt and gritty over the next couple of days. We finally got a good soaking rain today, which is very, very desperately needed. But your Boston 5-day forecast is going to have those showers continuing into the early evening tonight. Should more or less be wrapping up wherever you happen to be. The humidity, however, is going to stay. Temperatures are only going into the lower 70s tonight. So bust out the air conditioning or sleep on the lawn. Those are your choices. Tomorrow, humid, humid, humid. Temperatures in the low 90s. If you're into that whole it's going to feel like thing, go jump in the lake, because I'm not talking about that. Low 90s, humid, it's going to be like a sauna out there. And the temperature is only falling into the upper 70s. Mid 70s if you're in the cooler suburbs tomorrow night. So again, break out the air conditioner, sleep on the lawn. Friday, we've got a good chance for some scattered thunderstorms that we desperately need. Temperatures in the low 90s during the day, mid 70s Friday night. Saturday, the humidity is still with us. Temperatures in the mid 90s during the day on Saturday. Chance of some showers in the afternoon. You get that whenever we get this kind of weather set up around here. Lows in the mid 70s and humid on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, a cool front will move in. High is going to be in the mid 80s, low around 70 degrees Sunday night, and we have another good shot at getting some nice soaking thunderstorms. So we really, really, we're in severe drought around here. And just as a public service message, and you'll be hearing from Smokey Bear all night tonight, as you're out driving about, take a look at those trees that are growing on the hillsides and notice how brown they all are, folks. That is about as bad of a fire hazard as I have seen here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the last 3 decades. So you want to be really, really careful if you're out there. No fireworks, no throwing cigarettes out the window. Keep the fire inside where it belongs. Be very careful, because if any of those hillsides catch on fire, we're going to have some real problems around here. So just be very aware that the fire danger, even with today's rain, because the trees are still going to dry out and get super dry again. Even with today's rain, we have a very, very high fire danger. Please, please, please be aware of that. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that captivated Lisa and I's interest right here on WMFO Medford?
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
I was off-roading in the backcountry.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, I was about to start up my ATV on a trail near a bunch of dry brush.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. Smokey told me that was dangerous because ATVs give off sparks, and one spark can start a wildfire.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Arie and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. And the way that you do that, you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. And of course, it's time for that part of the show where, did you hear? Derek and I quiz each other by using one, two, three words. And then we have to guess what the biggest story involving that is. And we're very competitive and just like to beat each other. So, as always, I will start. Erdogan and Putin.
Erdogan and Putin had a meeting yesterday and appeared to have mended their fences after Turkey shot down a Russian jetliner last year, or a Russian fighter jet last year during the campaign against ISIS. It was believed that their relations would be frayed forever, but it's funny what a little coup can do, because Erdogan, now isolated from the European Union, has turned his attention toward normalizing relations with Russia. It's important to know that Turkey exists because of Russia. Following the Russian Revolution, Russian forces backed up Mohammed Atatürk against the existing Ottoman government to create the country we now know as Turkey.
Exactly. We have a blooming bromance happening.
Yes.
But it's funny, as in Derek, you just said, you know, we went from a situation where we were talking about planes being shot down and Putin went... you know, forward on media and condemned them for doing that. And also, there were many personal attacks. The fact that he was saying to Erdogan, you know, we know that you're smuggling in ISIS oil. That did not sit well.
No.
And you made a perfect point by saying they are completely shut out right now by the EU and they need somebody. And the coup was what set it off.
I have a feeling that Erdogan's sitting around saying, I'm thinking of being a strong-armed dictator. Europe doesn't like that. Who might be my friend? Vladimir, can we mend the fences now? Because I'm getting the whole strong-armed dictator thing.
Yeah, text with the kissy face.
Wouldn't Donald Trump be like the perfect third for that little collection right there? Best buddies forever. Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau
continuing
is
world leader theme.
Well, I know who he is.
Yes, but what did he do?
He is in charge of Canada.
Yes.
Oh, what did he do? When was it? Was this Monday?
Yeah, Monday was when it hit the United States.
Yes. I know something happened, and I remember seeing a story with the headline and not reading the actual story. What did Trudeau do?
Hunky shirtless prime minister appears in couple's wedding procession photo, and the Canada,
you know
the
what,
internet
Derek,
in Canada
that's
melted
actually
down.
Why I didn't read it because it's completely nonsense, BS news.
But it's not because
a little bit.
Prime Minister Trudeau is ripped. And
he is.
Ladies love the Trudeau. I mean, I'm surprised you're not looking at it just to check out the abs. But he was at the beach wandering around, and he saw a couple coming down for their wedding procession. So he stepped off to the side, and as they were walking by, the wedding photographer caught a picture of shirtless Justin Trudeau. It wound up on the internet, and Canadian women were home in their bedrooms by themselves for the rest of the weekend. We don't know what they were doing, but a lot of them looked at this photograph.
I hate to tell you, but no women stand alone with just a single photograph. Nope.
It's the prime minister. He's it's pretty ripped.
No matter how many abs you have.
He's pretty ripped. He's not quite that guy from Togo that was covered with oil in the Olympic opening ceremony. But,
yes. The only man from Togo, and yes. I think that's all you needed. Bobblehead.
Bobblehead. Well, if you went to the Red Sox game last night expecting one, you didn't get it. It was supposed to be David Ortiz bobblehead night. Mm-hmm. Well, the bobbleheads that they got did not match the bobbleheads that they approved. And what should have been a large grinning face of David Ortiz was in fact a